Yeah, Lord, it's about that time. Miss Gillian and Miss Sherma, oh, Lord, be sharing issues from a biblical perspective. Here we go.
Good morning, good morning, my listening friends, and happy Sunday. It is a bright and sunny day here in Brooklyn, New York. It's quite the opposite from last Sunday. Last Sunday was very cold and raining, but today we have a beautiful day, and we thank God for this beautiful day. I am here with Sherma to address issues in the news from a biblical perspective and to bring these issues before the Lord in prayer. In the news, we are frequently hearing a particular word, and that word is democracy. Listening to the news, we surely want to know what is going on with democracy in the U.S. The USA had been the epitome of democracy for the rest of the world. And I'm asking myself a questions. I'm questioning, and I'm sure you are also questioning. Is the word democracy taking on a new meaning? Or is it that the USA wants to move away from democracy? I had to revisit the meaning of the word democracy. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines democracy as a government in which the supreme power is vested in the people and exercised by them directly or indirectly through periodically held free elections. This democratic process, as defined by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, was exercised here in the U.S. on November 3rd, 2020. The result was contested, and that's part of the democratic process. However, numerous judges ruled that the democratic process for the November 2020 presidential election was fair, and all of them came to the same conclusion on who the winner is. There were recounts and other investigations, all of which came to the same conclusion and didn't change the outcome of the election. Now, despite the fact that the lowest court to the highest court, the Supreme Court of the land, adjudicated that the election was free and fair, an alternative fact, or sometimes it is termed as an alternative truth, was proclaimed by the executive branch of the government that the election was not free and fair. So here we see a clash in the government, in the branches of government. The judicial branch of the government is holding up the meaning of democracy, while the executive branch and part of the legislative branch of the government tried to shift the supreme power vested in the people to the executive branch of the government, and they are still trying. We have seen politicians who are desperate to cling to power, as Ed Gotthero puts it in his article crucified twice in the Liberty magazine. Politicians who are desperate to cling to power. Excuse me for a minute here. Let me say that again. Politicians who are desperate to cling to power are apparently willing to sacrifice their own integrity as well as the principles of our founding fathers in this process. They are doing this only to cling to power. I can't imagine what our founding fathers would have been saying. Washington, Madison, Jefferson, and other associates would be mortified to witness our day. The proclamation of this alternative truth by part of the government that the democratic process was not free and fair led to a violent mob to the Capitol, the Hall of Democracy, to threaten the peaceful transition of power. We witnessed what happened on January 6th. The reality of the violent assault on the soul of democracy left many in America and around the world stunned. What is very troubling, though, is that Christians got their name from Christ, meaning little Christ. Christians who are supposed to represent Jesus, the man of peace, were among white supremacist, extremist groups, rioters, invading the American government, beating people, trampling on people, killing law enforcement officers on the Hall of Democracy. And it got even more troubling. They prayed. As God's hero describes it, he says, kneeling about the speaker's podium in the legislative chamber, rioters gathered and jubilantly prayed for the Lord's blessing on their cause. Note the word there. They jubilantly prayed in the legislative chambers at the speaker podium. They were praying that the Lord bless this cause. They prayed in the name of Christ and claimed that they were doing God's will. What is this? I would like Sharma to put this in perspective from the pages of the Bible. But before she does, let me offer a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for life. I thank you for your promises. I ask that you will bless Sharma as she opened the word of God to us. And I ask you, Lord, that you will grant the listeners receptive minds, and you will help them to discern truth from error, facts from fiction, reality from fantasy. And Lord, I just ask that you will bless each one of us here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So Sharma, let's
Amen.
Put this in perspective now.
Amen, Jillian. Amen. You've told us, you've brought us to the point where we have to understand, my listeners, what Jillian said to you is truth. That's what's happening in our world today. But I'm here to encourage you on what the Word of God said, because what we've seen happening right now, according to our old scripture writer, Solomon, he said there's nothing new under the sun. So everything that's happening right now, it happened before. But guess what? Guess where that stemmed from? Power and people fighting to be in authority and lies, because everything is based on lies. So I'm going to tell you that many years ago, there was the greatest lie ever told was done by the man who created lie, the father of all lies. And I'm quite sure, my listeners, that you're asking yourself this morning, why does lies hurt so much? Why? You're being told the truth and you deal with hurt, but knowing that the truth is what it is. You told a lie. Which is better for you, believing in a lie or believing in the truth? A lie is something that will destroy your relationship for life. And that's what's happening in our world today. And I want to talk a little bit about the origin of that. You see, lies hurt, and it seems as if we find it more and more difficult to accept and to forgive those who perpetrate lies to us. However, why do we believe in the lies in which we've been told even today? But I'll tell you that there's the greatest book ever that ever is called the Bible. My friend,
you're breaking up, Sharma. Seems like we have lost Sharma. Seems like we have lost you. Mr. Lester, are you hearing her?
Can you hear me any better now?
Yes, we're hearing you now.
All right. So I'm reminding my friends this morning, my listeners, that lies and the fight for power to rule, even when you know that it's not your turn to do it. It started, my friend, from heaven. There's a true story. It originated from heaven. And we believe in the truth, right? We believe truth. Well, there's only one source of truth, and this is from the Bible, which is God's holy word. That will enlighten us as we try to understand and to decipher why is our great America going through this. The holy word tells us that God, Jesus, is the truth. Jesus is the way, and he is the life. It also tells us, according to the book of St. John, the John the Apostle, chapter 8, verse 44, and I read for you. It says, you are... That's, listen to me, you are of the father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, and truth did not abide in him because there's no truth in him. When he speaks lies because he speaks those lies on his own. He's a liar. And of course, according to the word of God, he is the father of lies. He's the creator of confusion. He's the creator of jealousy. He's the creator of everything that's going wrong. That, my listeners this morning, we established the fact that Satan, the devil, the old serpent, he can never speak truth because there's no such morals in him. That is why, from the beginning of creation, Satan has been called the father of lies. He started with the great deception of all times in the Garden of Eden, when he disguised himself as a talking serpent, and he held conversation with Eve. And I'm telling you this morning, be careful to the news. Be careful who you hold conversations with, because you hear that the election was rigged. You hear that everything is wrong because people fighting for power. But I want to tell you this morning that based on the word of God, Satan likes to set you up and deceive you, and that's what's happening in the world. And I want to go back and continue in the word of God, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, and we read that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. God said to Eve, do not touch any fruit of the field, because you will die. But when she told Satan, Satan used one word to change the trajectory of the story. He used the word, he said, you shall not surely die. My friend, just one word that changed the whole effect of humanity. Sin and the result of sinning is basically the transgression of God's law. God wants us, and God's law is the Ten Commandments. And that's for another time. We can discuss that. But transgression, sin, is the transgression of God's law. And so God wants us to obey him and to respect him in every aspect possible. God wants us to know that he's in charge and he's in control. You see, my friend, Satan was not created as Satan. He was created as Lucifer. He was created with everything beautiful and perfect, but he was in heaven. And when he went to heaven, he did not want to respect the authority of God. He wanted to be in control of the rule of heaven. And because of that, what Satan did, the authority of God, he threatened it. And he used his lies and his deception. And he went and he made sure that he garnered the angels and tried to get the angels to believe him. And so his lies and deception led him and one third of the angels to be cast down out of heaven. You know, we know that God wants us to know that Satan wants us to believe that there is something good in this world when we lie and cheat and we steal. But God does not want that, because God is the God who creator. And the word of God said, by him were all things created, and to Christ equally all allegiance was given to him. All heaven gave allegiance to God. And that's what Lucifer did not want. That's what he was jealous about. And so God cast them out of heaven because of sin. Enough is enough, my friends. Enough is enough, my friends. God, you see what's happening right now? It's called a great controversy, my dear. God, you have good and you have evil. God is the God of truth. Satan, the devil, is the father of lies. And because God created you, God gave you the power to choose. And that's what you have to choose. Would you believe in a lie, or would you believe in the truth of God? That controversy continued to happen on this earth. Because you see, my friend, there are two powers. That power I just talked about, the power of lies. So if you're not serving God, the power of truth, you are serving the power of lies, the devil. And that's what's happening in the world today. Men and women refuse to read the word of God. Men and women refuse to believe in God's word. So the controversy is going on Satan's side. I remind you, my friend, this morning, based on the word of God, I want you to choose God today. Be careful, my dear friend, of the lies that you read in the papers, the lies that you're being told what's happening right now, because you are created in God in his image, fearfully and wonderfully made, as the psalmist said in Psalms 139:14. So God, the God of truth, although he created you, my dear friend, he gave you free will to choose. You see, on the other hand, you see the father of lies, Satan, he continued to feed lies. That's what's happening in our world today. So in this world, you have two forces, as I told you, good and evil. Either you choose, and God asks you today, choose this day whom you're going to serve. You see, I want to tell you, based on John 10, chapter 10, it says this morning, God 10, that Satan comes to steal and to kill and to take life. But Jesus Christ, the God of truth and life, he came to give you life and to give you more abundantly. My listeners, that's why the word of God, John 3:16, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. My listeners, that whosoever, that means you and I, whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My listeners, I'm encouraging this morning to turn to the Bible for truth. The chaos and the confusion in this world is just temporarily, but you can get ease by turning to the word of God. So my friends, my listeners, please turn to God. Tell Satan, I'm tired of your lies. Jesus loves you, my friend, and he wants to save you. My question to you, my listeners, who will you choose right now? The father of all lies, which is Satan, or the creator of heaven and earth, which is the father of truth? I beseech you, my listeners, the lies that we hear is all coming from Satan. Choose Jesus. I beseech you today to choose wisely. And my wisely advice to you is to choose truth. choose Jesus Christ. So all the lies that we're hearing, that's the plot of Satan to tie you up and to make sure that you don't find Jesus. But my friends, my listeners, choose Jesus today. Choose the truth. In Jesus' name, choose
Amen.
The truth.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sharma. And I like when we read the words from, when we read it from the Word of God. So those of you who have your Bible next to you, or if you have a phone, whatever you have, I just want you to just Google the Bible and let's read from the Word of God. And we will see the first deception on this planet Earth. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 2. That Sharma referred to this as she was making her presentation there. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." That is the truth. God told them not to eat the fruit. However, let's go to verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, "You will not truly die." Quite the opposite to what God is saying. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Hi, Sharma.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, mute, please.
How are you?
Sharma, can you mute if you're having some feedback? Thank you. Right. So I'll read that. "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" So we will pause here, and I will ask Lester to play a song for us.
"Long time, girl, me never see you. Come, let me bump you."
What is what it's called? "You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies.
Yes, we are no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Sorry for those that distraction, my listening friends. As we continue to read the Word of God, maybe the devil didn't want us to hear the Word of God this morning. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So that was the first big lie being told on planet Earth. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate also. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. Now, we see the first big lie on planet Earth. Eve was deceived by the big lie. And I think that explains why some of our fellow Christians invaded the government, seeking to kill government officials, beating people, trampling on people, killing people. And in the midst of doing that, they are praying to God and asking God to bless their cause. This has to be a great deception. There are others who, like Adam, who was not deceived. Adam was not deceived. He knew that what he was doing was wrong. However, he went through with it. He followed Eve and he ate that fruit. And that showed that there are some people in this whole process, what is going on about our election. Some people are deceived, and some people know that it is a big lie, but they are sacrificing their integrity and the principles of our founding fathers to cling to power. They do need our prayers. And I am making an appeal to all our friends there, all those people who are professing to be Christians. I am making an appeal to you to pray to God, to open your eyes, to give you that spirit of discernment so that you can discern truth from error. You can discern fact from fiction. You can discern reality from fantasy. And let us go to the last book of the Bible. We just looked at the first book, so we will now move to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. I just showed you there that the first big lie was told to the first pair of people on this earth, Adam and Eve. That was the first man and woman on planet Earth. And the devil came in the form of a serpent and deceived them. However, it happened before. That happened before in a holy place. The system of government was threatened in a holy place. And let's go now to Revelation chapter 12. And we will see what happened in a place where you had only holy beings. And Revelation chapter 12, starting verse 7, it says, and war broke out in heaven. Can you imagine that? A place with only holy beings, war broke out in heaven. Michael, which is interpreted as Christ, and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found in for them in heaven any longer. So the great serpent was cast out. That serpent, remember the serpent in Genesis, we just read about the serpent testing Eve, who told Eve that big lie. So the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old, called what? The devil and Satan. Who what? Deceives. And who he deceives? He deceives the whole world. He was cast out. Where was he cast out? To the earth. He and his angels were cast out to this earth. And he is here deceiving the entire world. Then I heard a loud voice. This is verse 10. Saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. We have a way out of this deception. The devil is here on earth to deceive us. But the good news this morning is that we can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus came and he died on the cross of Calvary. So we can overcome these deceptive spirits that are among us today. Therefore, rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. The devil is cast out from heaven, so the inhabitants of heaven can now rejoice. And woe to the inhabitants of the earth, woe to us on earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because what? He knows that he has a short time. So one day Christ will defeat the devil completely. There will be judgment upon the devil, the ultimate judgment. In the meanwhile, while we are traversing here on this planet Earth, we have these deceptive angels all around us and will seek to deceive us. So I am asking you again to put your complete trust in God. And I don't have this text readily, but it was one third of the angels that were cast down here on earth. Imagine thousands and thousands and thousands of angels were in heaven, and still we have thousands of them. So just think about one out of every three angels was cast down here on this earth with the spirit of deception, because the devil had wanted to overthrow the government of God. He thinks that he should have been the one in charge. He wanted to be the one governing the universe. He wanted to usurp the authority of Christ, taking Christ's place, taking the place of Jesus. So he deceived one third of the angels, those intelligent, sinless beings. He deceived much more us, man, who born and shaped in iniquity. Those angels are here to deceive us. So what we see going on in the Capitol, in the news, in our government, the executive government, not right now, the previous one. We see what is going on in the legislative chambers and all our politicians. They're trying to change the rule. We have the voter suppression and all those things. We know that this is happening because of these deceptive powers in our world today. So I beg of you, that you will come before the Lord. Last week, we left with you. Let me get the text right now. It's Ephesians. We left with you some verses from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Let us revisit that now. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, I'm asking you to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We are wrestling against these deceptive angels that were cast out on this planet Earth. We are wrestling against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So the admonition in verse 13 is for you to take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore and guard your ways with what? With the truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. So I appeal to you again and again that you will cling to truth. The Bible is the standard of truth. So let us cling to our Bible. And let us have faith in God. God has the power to help us to overcome any deception. So let's pray. Almighty God, we know that you are a loving God. I thank you, oh dear Father, that you have sent your Son, your only Son, to die for our sin. We know, Lord, that you made this world perfect. And it is your desire, O Lord, that we walk in your footsteps. But many times, Lord, we come in contact with forces of evil. And we know, Lord, that you have that power to help us to overcome. So I ask of you, even at this time, that you will touch us, dear Father, and you will help us. We ask you that you will give us that spirit of discernment. Help us, O Lord, as I mentioned before, I pray again, O Father, that you will help us to discern truth, that you will help us to discern facts from fiction. You will help us, O Lord, to discern reality from fantasy. O Lord, we ask you in a special way that you will be with those who are elected to govern us. We ask, O Father, that they will submit themselves to you, knowing that they have a responsibility to guide us. We ask, O Father, that those who are under the spirit of deception, that you will release them this morning, that you will release them from that spirit of deception, O Lord, and help them that they would be free. We pray, O Father, that your Holy Spirit will come among us, O Lord, and take full control of this country. We ask that you will bless every branch of our government, and you will guide them in everything that they are doing. Bless us all, Lord. Take away our fear and help us that we may put our trust in you. I pray this morning, and I give you praise and I give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, Mr. Lester, I'll just ask you to play that entire song. I'm no longer a slave to fear. And as you sing that song and meditate upon the song, I would like you also that you will tell yourself you're no longer a slave to deception. You're no longer a slave to the deceptive angels. You're no longer a slave to the spirit of deception. So we'll go out with that song. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy. Till all my fears are gone, child of God.
Fet Life Station, The Vibe Starter, featured guest DJs,
original show,
music news, the hottest DJs from around the world.